Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This fourth day of the second octave, we get the question, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you?" It's an extraordinary question. They had followed Jesus across the upper part of the Sea of Galilee precisely because of this sign he had done the previous day, feeding 5,000 men, 5,000 women, 15,000 to 20,000 kids with 5 loaves and 2 fish as starting material. What sign can you do? He had already been working signs right there in Capernaum. He had worked the majority of his recorded miracles, healing paralyzed man, making withered hands stretch out, curing the servant of a centurion or a royal official at just the merest word. What sign can you do? They were specifically asking about a sign that Moses had said the long-awaited one would accomplish. When he spoke in Deuteronomy 18:15 about someone coming after him like him, they were anticipating that he would recapitulate everything that Moses had done. And this crowd that had come, as Jesus had already identified, because they were seeking another free meal, were looking for a free meal into eternity. Food every day. So when they're asking this question, "What sign can you do? What can you do?" They say, "Our ancestors ate manna in the desert for 40 days, for 40 years, excuse me. God rained down this, what is it in Hebrew?" They couldn't identify it. They had never seen it before. But it was a dew-like substance, like coriander seed, that it's described, it tasted like crackers full of honey. And they would pick it up 6 days, and on the Sabbath day, they wouldn't, because they would pick up a double portion on the sixth day. We'll get back there in a second. But they were looking for something like this, and Jesus wanted to bring them back to the true work of God and to the greatest of all signs. So the true work of God would be faith, to believe in the one he had sent. And the greatest of all signs was Jesus himself. His entire life, all he was doing was pointing to who he was, the authority of his mission. He swears an oath and says, "First, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread." He's trying to bring them from the sign that Moses worked to the signified. And the signified is that providential love of the Father for them. But what God gave them in the desert was nothing like he was prepared to. And even that sign in the desert, pointing to God's providential care, was likewise pointing to the way God's providential love would give them his Son, so they might not perish in the desert, but have eternal life. And then he upgraded them. The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. What's going to sustain you in life? what you need to hunger for to pick up on the conversation of yesterday. C'est moi. It's me. But they still weren't getting it. So they queried Jesus, give us this bread always. They were extremely practical. They didn't want to be crawling up and down the Sea of Galilee looking for the next meal. Give us this bread always, wherever we are, rain it down. And so Jesus specifies anew, I am that bread you're searching for. I am that bread of life. If you come to me, you will never hunger. If you believe in me, you will never thirst. These are extraordinary words. But this whole dialogue is working on two planes. The objective reality of how God was going to feed his people with himself. And then what would be the work of God expected of everyone to believe in this. It's all a dialogue of God's gift and whether we're going to accept the sign and accept the one giving the sign. Even to the very end, and we won't have Mass on, well, you'll have Mass on Saturday here. I will be in Nashville. But Saturday is that great dialogue. Do you also want to leave me? Peter will say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. The whole culmination happens after the disciples had abandoned Jesus, as we'll see on Friday. And he'll turn to the 12. And they won't understand any better how they are to gnaw on Jesus' flesh and drink his blood. But St. Peter makes an incredible act of faith, the work of God, saying, I don't know how it's going to happen, but because we believe you, we believe in what you say and what you do. For us, it's important to continuously grow in our acceptance of this sign and what it points to. Sir, give us this bread always. And God, in fact, has given us this bread always. He rains down manna, not just the 6 days a week, but now in the greatest of all the events of every week, he rains himself down on the little Easter so that we can, in fact, consume him most with the greatest preparation on Sundays. God has shown an even greater providential love. We pray every day, give us today our supersubstantial bread, and God responds to that petition by giving the bread not just for our bodies, he's never let us starve, but by giving himself as the nourishment for our souls. God gives himself, and we don't have to ask manna, what is it? Because he himself has told us. And the central act of our life is to believe in what God has said about this and, in fact, has accomplished in body language. The great sign that Jesus wants in the world is our faith, our belief in the one whom he has sent. I am presently giving instruction to a very, very bright woman here in New York who been working on for a while, and she's whistling. St. Catherine of Siena is helping her. She's whistling like a train, a locomotive that's picking up a lot of steam. But she has such an incredible desire to receive Jesus in Holy Communion and to receive his mercy in the Sacrament of Confession. She's working through a whole bunch of other issues. But one of the things that's struck her is the faith of her friends in these two sacraments. What it really means. She has faith in Jesus, but she's being moved to, by the example of the faith of her friends, to take him more and more literally here as he cleanses us and feeds us each day. When we look at the stoning of St. Stephen, we're able to see his faith, which was an extraordinary sign to Paul. We're also able to learn from his words a crucial means for us to grow in faith. I'm sure you caught it. You stiff-necked people. You can't turn in any other direction than the one you're set on. You can't be changed because you're so sort of focused obsessively on one thing. You stiff-necked people, he starts. And he says it with mercy, not as an insult, to help them to diagnose what their big spiritual malady is. And he says in this beautiful expression, uncircumcised in heart and in ears. Circumcision, as you know, was this means of dedication to God. To circumcise someone, as the sign of the covenant, was to say human love and human sexuality were consecrated to the Lord. To circumcise a heart means that the heart is consecrated. Circumcise the ears means that the ears are consecrated. And he was saying that your hearts aren't consecrated to the Lord, and that your ears aren't. Because where does faith happen? Happens first through the ears, which is why the great Annunciation scenes throughout the medieval era shows the Holy Spirit entering through Mary's ears. Because as St. Athanasius and then St. Augustine said, she conceived in her through her ears before she had ever conceived in her womb. She had faith. We've got to consecrate our ears. Fides ex auditu, St. Paul said to the Romans. Faith comes through hearing. We have to circumcise our ears to the Word of God. And they were on the day of our baptism, when a priest put his thumb straight into the saliva of our mouth and then took it and put it in our ears and said that great prayer. The Lord Jesus said, the Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May he soon touch your lips. No, may he soon touch your ears to receive his faith and your lips. Sorry, I got the order backward. Forgive me. May he soon touch your ears to receive his word and his lips to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father. Our ears have been circumcised. They've been consecrated over the Lord. We must use them to hear the Lord with faith, with hunger. Likewise, our hearts. As we talked about two weeks ago. Jesus upbraided the disciples after the resurrection for being slow of heart to believe, not slow of mind. Likewise with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he needed to make their hearts burn before they could accept the reality. Our hearts need to be consecrated. We need to love what we're hearing. And that's the means by which fides quaerens intellectum, that our faith will lead to greater understanding. It doesn't start by our being able to comprehend it intellectually first. No, it starts with the consecration of the ears and the hearts if we're going to do the work of God, which is to believe in the one whom God has sent. St. Stephen was one who did believe in the Lord fully. Showed how he entrusted himself over to the Lord even as he was being stoned to death. That where most people would be thinking about self-preservation or even minimizing harm, he was beholding the heavens ripped open. God the Father with his Son, the greatest sign of his love. And he was just praying at the moment of his stoning, receiving with faith what nobody could receive well without faith. And that's a sign for us. So we commend our spirit and our bodies and our souls into the Lord's outstretched arms. We recognize that he stretches out his Son, the true manna, rained down for us today, so that we might never hunger or thirst, because with the Lord as our shepherd feeding us in this way, and stretching forth a banquet, we have it all.